Hello, Space Coast, and welcome to another edition of the Florida Today podcast. I'm Christina LaFortune. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone to click subscribe in the iTunes, Google Play Music stores, or Stitcher radio app so you never miss an episode. Also, by giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes, you make it easier for other people to find us. Changing your appearance can be empowering. It can be as simple as choosing a dress and heels instead of shorts and flip-flops, wearing vampy red lipstick, or trying a different hairstyle. Your appearance changes the way you feel and the way others respond to you. Actors have known this truth for millennia. Cosplayers have rediscovered it more recently. There's something compelling about the power of transformation. Alan Ostrander agrees. He's the president and creative director of AEO Studios, and a special effects artist who creates larger-than-life characters for film, television, theater, and cosplay.
But I love that creative process. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the transformations. I grew up watching Benny Hill and SNL back in the 70s, 80s, when they were real big. And I was just mesmerized by that idea that one person was all these different characters, and that's what really got me hooked.
This brings us to my experience being turned to stone. Well, first I was smothered in gelatinous goop and then turned to stone. I know it sounds crazy. Let me explain. Life casting is the duplication of a person's features from a mold made from their living body. You've probably seen those kits popular with new parents for casting babies' tiny hands or feet, or even art pieces cast from a model's body. Those are made from a life cast. Special effects artists use life casting to make a permanent, durable, three-dimensional copy of an actor that can be used for sculpting customized character makeup. Think of a witch's bumpy nose or an alien's sleek brow. When it's created on a life cast of the actor's face, the finished prosthetic makeup will fit the live performer's features with complete accuracy, allowing movement and expression. So why would the average person do this? Well, Halloween is one of our most popular holidays. People spend millions of dollars every year on elaborate costumes. And let's not forget about cosplay. Do you want to make yourself look like Groot, or the Joker, or your favorite alien from Star Trek? This is how you do it. I've asked Alan to help me create a character for Halloween. Looking around his studio in Orlando, I know I've come to the right place. Prosthetic body parts litter the work table, and bright green Shrek heads lurk in a corner. Looking around, I see mysterious items on the shelves.
Werewolf upper, half skull, beast brow. This is such a fun place to work.
It's a little different. Yeah, I'm saying another day, another dead body.
Minotaur.
That's just because we've got fun stuff.
And that's what's fun is we never know what's coming next.
Today, Alan will create a life cast of my head and shoulders, the first step in creating customized character makeup. Alan explains the process.
So what we're doing today is called life casting. Specifically for creating three-dimensional prosthetics. We're going to create a totally new character for you. And the way we do that is we actually need to duplicate your head. So what we're going to do is take a cast. When we're all finished, we're going to have a bust like this, but of your exact face and features.
All right.
So then from that point, we can sculpt and create any new character and actually give you a totally new face that will fit right onto your own when it's applied. And the life casting is the first step in creating all of that.
The process can be a little daunting. I'll have to sit perfectly still for about a half hour while he makes an impression of my head using alginate and plaster bandages. Alan assures me that I have nothing to worry about.
We use a product called alginate, specifically prosthetic grade alginate. It's very safe for the skin. It's going to be like a wet jelly that we'll apply all over. And that takes about 10 minutes to set up. We'll also apply some plaster bandages to make it very rigid. And we'll be talking you through the process the entire time.
All right.
And when it's done, we're going to have a negative impression of your head.
While I don't want anyone to have a negative impression of my head, I get what he's talking about. As they tuck my hair under a bald cap, I listen attentively to the advice from Alan and his assistants, Ray Asiala and Ashley Green. They tell me I should keep my neck straight so my cast will have a clean chin and jawline. If I ever feel like I can't breathe, I should just blow out through my nose and give them a hand signal. Most important of all, these experienced artists will make my safety their first priority, so I should not try this at home. One thing has been worrying me.
What happens if I have to sneeze?
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
The edges of the bald cap are sealed to my skin with spirit gum adhesive. All of my hair is completely covered. I feel like I'm starting to lose my identity. I'm acutely conscious of the camera. I tell myself I'm letting go of my vanity for the sake of creating art. I know I must look pretty peculiar right now, but Alan reassures me.
Okay, beautiful.
Am I really beautiful? Do you mean
always
it?
Always. Just a little less hair.
I'm also aware that this life cast is going to preserve my features in stone permanently. Of course, I want it to be flattering. I ask Alan for the best strategy. So I'm guessing just like a neutral expression?
Exactly. Just natural, okay. Just like you're taking a nap.
Okay. I don't actually know what I look like when I take a nap.
Well, we'll find out.
I suspect I don't look like Sleeping Beauty. For all I know, I might look like a drooling, slack-jawed gargoyle. Is that really how I want to be remembered for all eternity? To make sure the alginate doesn't stick, Alan covers my eyebrows and eyelashes with water-based lubricant, which he then slathers over the top of my head.
Okay, so next thing we need to do before we take the casting is we're gonna grease you up a little bit.
Oh boy.
Just wanna make sure that the alginate doesn't stick to you so that it can come off easily.
This is actually pretty soothing as long as I don't think too much about the visual image I must be presenting. I keep reminding myself, all the movie stars do this. I'm just like a movie star. At this point, we're ready to start. Alan tells me what's coming next.
Just close your eyes and relax. I'm gonna start right at the top of the head. Let it flow down.
The artist starts slathering cool, gooey alginate on me. One focuses on the back of my head, another concentrates on my face. I can feel it oozing over my head. They work fast to gently press the goop into the contours of my eyes, my cheeks, my mouth, my chin. They cover the tip of my nose but leave my nostrils open. I have a flash of anxiety. Uh-oh, what face did we decide on? Slack-jawed gargoyle? Beautiful dreamer? I can no longer speak, so I try to relax into what I hope is a neutral expression. Remembering my chin, I hold my neck straight. They work the goop around my neck and shoulders. At this point, I'm conscious that I can no longer adjust my position or change my expression. Sounds are muffled, although I can still hear the camera shutter clicking. I'm aware that I must look like a bedraggled swamp monster. Oh boy, why am I doing this again? About 5 minutes in, the alginate has congealed around my head. My face feels frozen in place. I give them a thumbs up to indicate that I'm doing fine. This is going faster than I expected. The next step is to apply the plaster bandages, which will give the alginate some structural support. The artists quickly reorganize their supplies and then start applying plaster around the front of my head. What little translucent light I could sense before now goes completely dark as wet plaster strips are placed over my eyes.
This is where we get to mummify you. And Christina, you can relax at this point. The alginate is all set.
How would the creature from the Black Lagoon look enshrouded in bandages? Is mummy better than Swamp Thing? Either way, this will be good for Halloween, right? About 8 minutes in, the plaster bandages are starting to add up, but Alan is still patiently talking me through the process.
And you are going to start feeling a little bit of weight. It is a little heavy. We'll work as quick as we can.
He's not kidding. I feel like I'm being buried. Sounds are muted, except for my own breathing, which sounds deafening. The tattoo of my heartbeat is suddenly loud in my ears. Wow, can they hear that pounding on the outside? It's so loud. Surely they must hear it too. This is like being in a sensory deprivation chamber. I can feel their hands smoothing the plaster around my neck and shoulders, working out all the errant air bubbles. Alan places a tiny piece of chalky-smelling plaster over the end of my nose, reminding me that I haven't had to sneeze. Yet. Don't think about it, I tell myself. Oh no, now I'm thinking about it. We're about 15 minutes into the life casting now, and the artists are developing a sense of humor.
Now we can say all kinds of things about her. She can't talk bad.
She looks like she got really good plastic surgery.
Oh, ha ha. Very funny, guys. Hilarious. This is when they turn a hairdryer on me to speed up the drying of the plaster.
And we'll get her some air. Finish up those bandages.
It's weirdly jarring to get a blast of air through my nose hole. Man, those are words I never thought I would say. About 18 minutes in, I hear scratching. Someone is writing on the plaster with a pencil. Are they drawing graffiti on my head? I want to smile in spite of myself, but I can't move. I'm feeling slightly claustrophobic now. I can still breathe easily, but I've had just about enough of this. The layers of plaster are weighing me down, making me feel entombed. Luckily, Alan tells me we're almost done.
Just another minute for these bandages to dry up. And then we'll get you out of there.
Finally, about 20 minutes into the life casting, the artists lever the back half of the plaster layer off my head, clamshell style, and I immediately feel lighter. The front half comes off next. I can sort of sense daylight at the end of the tunnel, although I'm still encased in alginate. I lean forward, and Alan uses scissors to cut a zigzag opening up the back of the alginate. He's careful not to cut the bald cap. Feels like this step is taking forever, but that's probably because of my own impatience. After 25 minutes inside the mold, Alan tells me what to do next.
Okay, at this point, Christina, go ahead and start making some faces.
I squinch my face up and then I stretch it out into a yawn. I can feel the alginate release from my skin. The more I move my face, the more the mask pops away. Alan loosens up the back while I pull my head out.
Now let's check on our model. Okay.
Whoa, that's what it feels You're like fine. To be born.
Light, air, and reality come flooding back to my senses. The molding phase of my life cast is done. Next, Alan will seal up the seam in the alginate and return it to the plaster casing. Then he'll pour UltraCal 30 cement into the mold, which will take a full 24 hours to cure. I return to the studio the next day for the unveiling of the finished cast. I'm excited and anxious. What will it look like? As we peel away the alginate, my features start to emerge. The last piece reveals my closed eyes. Aha, so that's what I look like when I'm asleep. I'm relieved to note that I look like neither a gargoyle nor a beauty, but just a normal person. The cast is incredibly realistic, right down to the texture of my skin and the creases on my eyelids. Despite trying to stay neutral, I notice that my cast has a tiny, enigmatic smile, just like Mona Lisa. My face is smaller than I expected. I have a momentary flash of cognitive dissonance as I see myself the way others see me instead of seeing the familiar reversed reflection in the mirror. There's something kind of unsettling about seeing my own disembodied head turned to stone set on a table. But I'm excited to see the customized Halloween character Ostrander will create just for me. I don't want to be a zombie or anything scary. I'm thinking maybe I'd like to be a fairy or a woodland spirit of some kind. Something beautiful but wild. I'm already thinking about what I can do with my stone life cast. Maybe I'll put a red wig and dark glasses on it and set it up in front of my computer at work. Then I can go enjoy a delicious frosty beverage at the beach. I wonder if anyone will notice. Now, it's important to note, please do not try this process at home. Life casting takes a team of experienced artists who will make your safety their first priority. If you'd like to learn how to do it, AEO Studios offers life casting classes and services. You can find details at aeostudios.com. And you can read more of my story on floridatoday.com and follow me on Twitter at LaFortuneC. That's at LaFortuneC. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. The Florida Today podcast is brought to you by Florida Today, part of the USA Today Network.